Again, let me add my welcome to everyone who's at the meeting this evening. Again, we look to the Lord to bless to us the reading of his word and the preaching of the gospel this evening. Now, Stephen last week read from Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to read this evening from Genesis chapter 4. You'll notice that the reading this evening isn't, shall we say, a Christmas-themed reading, but it really gives the background as to why Christmas is necessary in the first place, why it was necessary for the Son of God to leave heaven behind to come to the manger in Bethlehem. I've got three fairly short readings this evening. Firstly in Genesis chapter 4, the very first book in the Bible, and we'll read from verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, he was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt or thou must rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So that phrase, particularly in verse 7, that I want to draw to our attention this evening, sin lieth, or sin croucheth, at the door. We've read in the very first book of the Bible, I'd like to read now in the very last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation and chapter 3. The book of Revelation and chapter 3. And it's just verse 20 that I want to read with you this evening. It's the Lord Jesus himself speaking. And he says in verse 20 of Revelation chapter 3, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I suppose you could make it more immediate and make it more vivid if you were to read it this way. He says, Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Finally, please, in Luke's Gospel and chapter 13. Luke's Gospel and chapter 13. Again, it's the Lord Jesus speaking in his teaching. And we're going to break into the reading of verse 24. Where the Lord Jesus says, strive, or really make it a priority, or make it your number one priority, to enter in at the straight or the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. In verse 25, ye begin to stand without, stand outside, and to knock at the door. And we're also the Lord to bless too as the reading of his word this evening. Three passages then we've read this evening. Three doors. And a different thing is happening at each door. In Genesis chapter 4, we've got sin crouching at the door. And we want to think about that. In Revelation chapter 3, we've got the Saviour standing at the door and knocking. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 13, we've got sinners knocking at the door. Sin crouching at the door, the Saviour standing at the door, and sinners knocking at the door. I want to spend the time this evening that we have left just thinking about these things. You remember that in Genesis chapter 3, that Stephen read from last week, that we have the very first sin of all time committed. The very first act of disobedience. The very first time that mankind decided to go their own way and do their own thing and not God's. And you remember that as a result of that, the Bible says the eyes of them both were opened and they felt ashamed and they felt guilty and they tried to cover themselves and they tried to hide. You'll remember that at the end of the reading that Stephen drew our attention to last week, that the Lord God made them coats of skin and he clothed them. And they were sent out of the garden, out from the place where they'd enjoyed fellowship and friendship with the God of heaven. And now with the reading that we've had this evening, we pass on a few years. We don't know how long exactly it was between the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And certainly by the time that the boys had time to grow up, we've come a few years down in time from the very beginning. And we're introduced to two men. And we're introduced to two offerings. And we're introduced to two outcomes. And we discover that both these men, both Cain and Abel, wanted to find acceptance with God. They wanted to be accepted by God. I guess it's a basic human instinct or a basic human desire that we want to find acceptance with the God of heaven. For those of us that are prepared to accept the reality of the God of heaven and not to dismiss it. For those of us that are prepared to accept the evidence of our eyes around, in relation to everything around us. For the Bible tells us, and common sense dictates it, that everything around us is witness to the fact that God has made it. So the things that are made are testimony to the power and the divinity of the God of heaven. These boys, they knew that God existed. These boys, they would have been told by their parents that there had been a time when they had been in the garden and they had enjoyed fellowship with their Creator. These boys had no excuse for not believing in God. And these boys knew that there was a distance now between them and God. And they wanted that gap to be bridged and they wanted to find acceptance with God. I want to ask you a simple question tonight. Do you want to be in heaven? Do you want to enjoy the presence of God forever? Do you want to be accepted by Him? You know, we all want acceptance, don't we? It's one of the basic human needs. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted by other people. We want to be accepted by our friends. We want to be accepted by the people that we come into contact with, by people that we work with, by people that we go to school with, the people we attend college with. We want to be accepted, and it's not a nice feeling not to be accepted. But the biggest need of all that we have is to be accepted by the God of heaven. And both these boys wanted acceptance. But there's something very solemn that we learn from this passage this evening. And that is quite simply that not everybody is accepted by God. Not everybody is accepted. Not everybody will be in heaven. God will not, and we'll find out that God cannot just let everybody in just as they are. And the question that arises from that, I guess, and it's a very big question, it's a question I guess that's been asked for a long, long time, is why? Why is it that God doesn't just accept everybody? And I want to make it very clear at the beginning of the meeting, at the beginning of thoughts on this, that it wasn't because God loved Abel and he didn't love Cain. And it wasn't because he favoured Abel over Cain. And it wasn't because Abel was his favourite. And you say, how do you know? Because God said to Cain in verse 7, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, there's acceptance available. There's a place in my heaven available for you. So I want to tell you this evening, on the basis of the Word of God, and it's not just this passage, you go throughout the Scriptures, that there is a place in heaven that is available for you this evening. And there is acceptance with God that is available for you. And so we say, why is it that Cain was not accepted? Why is it that Abel was accepted and Cain wasn't? I want to draw our attention to two things. The first is the offering that they brought. And the second is their attitude towards God. The first is the offering that they brought. The second is their attitude, their basic attitude towards God. You know, if you were to turn to the New Testament and you were to turn to the New Testament commentary on this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, you'd find this. You'd find these words. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, when it boils down to it, this is the basic difference in attitude towards God between Abel and Cain. Abel was a man of faith. Abel believed God. Abel trusted God. And Cain wasn't prepared to. But you see, what we find out in relation to the offerings that are brought is that acceptance with God is on the basis of sacrifice. Now, we learned that last week. We learned that very, very clearly from the very first chapter, that God, that for Adam and his wife to be covered, for them to have a covering, and that covering is a picture, if you like, of what needs to happen. That sin, that shame, that guilt needs to be covered. That's why we wear clothes, you know. Because of what happened right at the beginning. You don't find the animals wearing clothes. Humans wear clothes, and it's not because of the climate that we live in. It quite simply goes back to the beginning. We wear clothes because there is a sense of shame that we have associated with nakedness. And it's a picture. So just as we need to be covered with clothes, so our sin needs to be dealt with. So we need a covering for our sin. And what is it that brings the covering for Adam and his wife? It's the coat of skin. And the animal had to die. And a sacrifice had to be offered. And that brought about a covering. And they would have told the boys that. And they would have said to Adam and his wife, Adam and Eve, would have said to Cain and Abel that in order to find acceptance with God, a sacrifice needs to be offered. And you'll find it, and you'll find it throughout the scriptures, and it will be, there'll be more details added to it, and there'll be different things added to the picture, but this basic truth, this basic fact, that if my sin is to be dealt with, someone needs to die in my place. It starts right at the beginning. And it wasn't just that Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. That meant that Abel brought a sheep and Cain brought the produce of the ground. It was because by faith Abel had grasped this fact that acceptance with God is on the basis of sacrifice, on the basis of an offering that is made. And so they brought their offerings. And Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock. And Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground. You know, I don't doubt that Cain worked hard. Again, if you look back into chapter 3, God had said that it was going to be hard work, that farming was going to be hard work. But to make the ground produce, to produce food, to sow the crops, to watch it grow, to reap the crops, to harvest it, to bring the crops in, it was going to be hard work. Says God, by the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat bread. I've got no doubt that Cain worked hard. I don't doubt either that Cain brought the very best that he could bring. I don't doubt that for a minute. But you know, salvation isn't about bringing the best that we can. And salvation isn't about working hard to produce the best in our own lives, to be the best people that we can possibly be, although that's a great ambition. But it won't bring us salvation, it won't bring us acceptance with God. And there's a very good reason for that. And it's found in what God says to Cain. And it's found in this phrase that I was drawing your attention to earlier, that about sin crouching at the door. Because that was the problem. Says God to Cain, if you do well, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? I judge that what God was saying is, Cain, there's an offering available. If you bring that offering, you'll be accepted. But Cain, if you want to come your way, and if you want to come by bringing the best that you can, I want to tell you that there's something that you've got to overcome. And that something is quite simply called sin. And it's crouching at the door. It's like a wild animal waiting to pounce. You know, if I knew that there was a lion or a tiger or something that was just camped right outside my door, I don't think I'd go outside, you know. And God's saying that's what sin's like. It's like a wild animal. It wants to have the mastery of you. It wants to overcome you. It wants to grapple you. It wants to have you. Cain, what you've got to do is you've got to overcome it. You have got to overcome sin. If you want to get to heaven by your own efforts, that's what you've got to do. You've got to overcome sin. Well, you know, that brings two problems with it. The first of it, and I choose this was largely Cain's problem, and it's seen by the results. It's seen by what Cain goes on to do. Mostly, we don't want to. Quite simply, mostly we don't want to overcome sin. We don't want to get rid of it. Actually, we're quite happy with it. There's lots of things about our lives that we want to hold on to. And there's lots of things that God says are wrong that actually I say are quite enjoyable and things that I want to just carry on doing. And that's the first big problem, is that actually, if I'm to get to heaven, by my own efforts, sin needs to be dealt with, sin needs to be overcome, but actually, I'm quite happy with it, and I'm quite happy with things the way they are. But there are things that we're not happy about, aren't there? And there are things about ourselves that we don't like. And there are things about ourselves that we wish could be different, and we wish we could do something about, but we find as we try and do something about them, that the big problem is that we can't. And you know what it's like, don't you? Well, the one thing that you're trying not to do, you might manage it for a while, and you might feel that you're getting on really well, and you might feel things are going really well, and then suddenly you do it again. And suddenly you've slipped up, and suddenly that sin, that thing that you want rid of, has suddenly pounced and it's overcome you again, and it does it again. And again, and again, and again. And what we find is that a sacrifice or an offering or bringing something to God that does not deal with the problem of sin can never bring the acceptance of God. Unless sin is dealt with, I can never be accepted by God. And that's right, isn't it? And that's fair, and that's just, because God is holy. And if God were to let sin into heaven, then he wouldn't be God anymore. And he wouldn't be holy anymore, and heaven wouldn't be heaven anymore. And God says to Cain, look, if you change your mind, if you do what's right, if you accept the way that things have to be, and you bring a sacrifice that is acceptable to me, you'll be accepted. And what we find as we come through the scriptures, and as we come through the pages, pages of our Bibles, we find this truth of sacrifice, but we find something else. We find that none of these sacrifices in themselves could deal with sin completely. You know, that's the thing about clothes, isn't it? Clothes wear out. And no matter, even if it's a sheepskin coat or a coat of skin or whatever it is, it eventually it gets a bit threadbare and there's holes in it, and it needs to be replaced. And the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, though they give us a picture of what was necessary, they couldn't ever deal with sin completely. They needed to be something else. And that's where the Lord Jesus comes in. And that's why the Lord Jesus came from heaven. And that's why we have Christmas. And that's why we glory in the fact that the Lord Jesus came down to the manger at Bethlehem. Because the Lord Jesus came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he came to save sinners by dealing with sin. And he dealt with sin by the sacrifice of himself at Calvary. He dealt with sin by being the perfect sacrifice and offering the perfect sacrifice and taking the punishment for sin and dealing with sin in its entirety and getting rid of it. So that people like us could be in heaven. Not on the basis of what we do or what we have done or what we are, but on the basis of who he is and on the basis of what he has done. Not on the basis of trying hard, but on the basis of faith. The basis of faith. Taking God at his word, believing what God has said, trusting that what the Lord Jesus has done, I was going to say, is enough. Actually, what he's done is not just enough. What he's done is more than enough. Because what he's done is more than enough that every man and woman and boy and girl that has ever lived in this world and ever will live can be saved. You know, the work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more glorious than anything else. So much better than anything that I could tell you. So much better than I can put into words. And it works. It works. Faith in Christ works. It brings salvation. It brings acceptance. It brings peace. It brings forgiveness. It brings something that you can't get anywhere else. Which is why we commend the Saviour to you week by week by week. And why we don't tell you about anything else. And why we don't tell you about anyone else. Other than the Lord Jesus. For there is no other salvation. And there is no other name by which we must be saved. You know, there's a big contrast between what we read in Genesis chapter 4 about sin crouching at the door and what we find in Revelation chapter 3, where we find the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, standing. For where sin is crouching, it's wanting to overcome, it's wanting to bring destruction, it's wanting to bring ruin, and the Lord Jesus is standing. But he's knocking. And he's waiting for an invitation to come in. And when he comes in, he'll bring blessing. He's not going to bring ruin. He's going to bring blessing. But he's not going to force his way in. You know, sin, if you open the door a chink, it's there and it's had you. Sin will batter the door down if it possibly can. But the Lord Jesus is standing and he's knocking. He's not going to try the handle. He's not going to put his shoulder to the door. There might be times when he knocks louder than others, and there might be times when he knocks more insistently than others, and he does that at times in our life. And there's maybe times when he calls louder than others. But he's not going to force his way in. He says, I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. But it's up to you to open the door. He says, if anyone opens the door, I will come in. He says, if anyone opens the door, I'm not going to take one look inside and say, oh, actually, no thanks. I don't really want to come in at all. He says, I will come in. And I'll sup with him and he with me. We'll have fellowship together and we'll have friendship together. In fact, says the Lord Jesus, we'll spend eternity together. But it's not just about the future. You see, salvation isn't just about the future. It's about the here and now. That's why we read this verse. Because it is about fellowship with the risen Christ now. It's so much better than anything else. He's knocking with a nail pierced hand, you know. He's knocking with a hand that was nailed to a rugged cross at Calvary, where he died for you. And he gave himself for you. And he loved you so much that he took your place and he took your punishment and he took the death that should have been yours. You heard him knocking? Are you going to let him in? He said, actually, I can't really let him in. You know, there's so much about my life. There's so much clearing up to do. If I'm going to let him in, there's this that needs to be right and there's that that needs to be right. And I need to, you know, don't worry about that. You see, he's the one that does the cleaning. He wants you to let him in as you are. He doesn't want you to stay as you are. He wants to change you. He wants to clean you. He wants to make you the person that you should be. But he does the cleaning. Three things about it, isn't there? If anyone hears anyone opens, I will come in. Have you heard him knocking? The hymn that we sang that Ron gave out at the beginning, Jesus, my Saviour, the same as of old, calling for me. Have you heard him calling? Have you heard him calling before? Will you let him in? I want to say to you that there's nothing else that is of any value if he's on the outside. The people that he was talking to in Revelation chapter 3, they said, oh, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I've need of nothing. Don't need anything. I've got everything. And sometimes we can think that. We might not be the richest people on the planet, but we might think we've got family, we've got friends, we've got things that we want, we've got stuff. What else do we need? He says, you don't realise that you're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. You're bankrupt. You've got nothing. I want to ask you this evening, have you ever realised that without Christ you've got nothing? Without Christ there's no salvation and no place in heaven. Without Christ I am nothing and have nothing. And I want to tell you very solemnly, on the basis of the last passage that we read, that if you keep him out now, one day we'll find that it's us that's on the outside. One day we'll find out that we're knocking at a door that won't be opened. You know, there's some appointments that it doesn't really matter if you're late for, does it? There's some appointments we'd rather miss. But there's some appointments that it doesn't really matter if we're a little bit late for. If you're a little bit late for class in the morning, they'll still let you in. Might be a bit embarrassing, but they'll still let you in. There are other things that if you're a little bit late for, yeah, it might be a little bit... You might have to walk right to the front or something like that, but it's no big deal. There are other things that if you're too late for, you just don't get in. I understand that an audience with the Queen is like that. If you've got an appointment with the Queen and you're late, you don't get in. I want to tell you, if you're late for heaven, you're too late. If you're late for salvation, you're too late. If the door is shut, and the door shuts when we leave this world, if the door shuts on us and on our lives, it shuts forever. It's a tragedy to be on the wrong side of the door. On the wrong side, when we could have been on the right side simply by inviting the Lord Jesus into our lives, to take possession of our lives, to take control of our lives, to be the Lord of our lives, to take him now as our Saviour, to take him now by faith. Tragedy to never have done it will be found on the outside. And on the outside for all eternity, sin crouches at the door. That's the big problem that we have. It's a thing that needs to be overcome, and we can't do it. A Saviour is standing at the door. I want to ask you, is he still on the outside of your door? He's on the inside of mine. There was a day in my experience when I opened the door and welcomed the Lord Jesus. And as a child, I put my faith and trust in him. There's a door that's one day going to be closed. And it's our earnest desire and prayer that there'll be no one in this room this evening that ever be found on the wrong side of that door. Shall we pray? And Father, we thank you for this time we've had together this evening. I think, Father, there are solemn issues that we've dealt with tonight. We think, our Father, of how of the contrast between Cain and Abel, and how Cain wanted to come his own way and wasn't prepared to come God's and wasn't prepared to accept that God's way was the only way that dealt with the real issues. Father, we confess that it's so easy in our own lives and our own experience to think exactly the same thing. Help us, our Father, if that's our attitude tonight, just to realise that there is no way, no other way for sin to be dealt with than by the Lord Jesus and by his death at Calvary. Now, Father, we thank you for the patience of the Saviour. We thank you, Father, for the one who continues to knock. Despite often our refusal to open to him, we thank you, Father, for the one who doesn't give up on us, and we just thank you for that. And we just pray, Father, that maybe this evening there would be someone here that would seize the opportunity and would open the door of their hearts and of their lives to let him in. So, Father, we just thank thee for another opportunity for the gospel to be preached. Another opportunity for the Lord Jesus to be set forth. Now, Father, we just ask thy blessing to be upon each of us now as we go home. We commit ourselves into thy hands, giving thee thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.